Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Yeah, that's the testing of butts.
Nice. Butt touching. I did stay at a Roach Motel, and I did not get bed bugs and or lice, so I'm okay. The place smelled literally like the person, like they came in and did like the full crime scene scrub.
Nice.
Yeah, it was like, this place smells like real a lot like...
Just antiseptic?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's probably had been like a chalk outline on the floor
they
before.
They gotta cover up the body smell.
And there's like a dude with like another dude's penis in his hand, like outlined on the floor. Cause it was like a really crudely drawn penis where you know, it's got like the curve and then the two balls on the bottom. And for some odd reason, the cops added the little jizz things going
the
out of it.
Days?
Yeah, the little till days. Yeah.
Nice.
It was an SMS murder scene.
Finally.
The SMS murderer has struck again.
So how was Jern Kern?
You want to talk about Gen Con first?
I don't fucking care. Go for it.
All right. I could talk about Gen Con. Yeah. I went for 2 days. I went Friday morning. I left at 3 a.m. to get there and get a good parking spot. And, of course, there was a football game going on. So all the parking was taking up in downtown Gen Con. Because for some odd reason, a lot of people had to go out to watch a guy throw an oblong ball at another person.
They got that Peyton Manning.
That Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
Ooh, that Peyton Manning.
He's no Johnny Football.
No. And I learned from being in Indianapolis that the horseshoe that represents the Colts can be turned to its side to make the C in the Colts.
Wow.
Yeah. They're clever, those footballers.
That's some incredible design.
That's incredible. I don't know. I haven't watched That's Incredible in like 20 years.
I just said that was some incredible design.
I don't know. I'm just making a That's Incredible joke. Who's that? What's that guy who did That's Incredible?
Fuck if I know.
You don't remember that show?
It used to be on,
and then Ripley's Believe It or Not, like right after.
I remember Ripley's Believe It or Not. That was Dean Cain.
No, this was pre-Dean Cain. This was like
who was on,
80s.
Who was Ripley's Believe It or Not before Dean Cain? Was it Riker?
Was it Riker?
Riker was on some... No, it wasn't. He wasn't on Ripley's Believe It or Not. Riker's on a show like that, though.
No, Riker was on that show where they would tell four stories and then like only one of them would
that's
be true.
That's right. It was like... The true stories or not.
Yeah, it's like, would you believe that's the truth? And then you'd be like, no! That's not the truth, Riker, you son of a bitch. Yep. You handsome son of a bitch.
You handsome bastard. I don't need your fantasy women.
You fantasy. You season two hunk you.
Yeah.
Season one, he's good looking, but not as good as season two.
Growing the beard.
All right, so Gen Con. I'm sure like all of our listeners are like, oh, fucking Gen Con, yeah. Let's hear some Gen Con stories. That's not much to tell. This was a very start.
I heard it was not a very exciting Gen Con this year.
Oh no, it was. They had a lot of great shit out.
Well, I mean, like if you got excited about it, that doesn't necessarily mean it was exciting.
Well, I mean, this was. Let me first tell you, I was not excited about a lot of things. I went in there. I was not feeling it this year. I really didn't want to go, but I was like, fuck it. I'll get a motel room for like $40.
You felt obligated to go?
Yeah. I mean, like, I have a podcast with a mildly successful podcast with
That's pretty strong.
I know.
That's pretty strong. How about you just have a podcast?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not pulling in Nerdist numbers, mind you, but I'm doing better than like some retro video game podcast.
You mean Pat's Retro Video Game Review Podcast?
No, that's doing well. I'm just fucking... Pat gets so mad at me.
He's like, what time is this? It's time for that. What time is it?
It's time to troll Pat. It's all right, Pat. I got you a very... I told him I bought him a gift at Gen Con. I haven't told him what it is yet.
Ah.
Steve is looking at it right now.
It's pretty shitty.
Oh, no. He's going to love it, though.
No way. Pat's going to be like, oh, this is okay. Thanks, Joe. He would never tell you he didn't like it.
No, Pat. Even if Pat's disappointed, he's like the nicest guy in the world. He'll tell you that he loves it. It's the greatest present ever. No, but I was like, it's $40 for a motel room. It's literally like a 2.5-hour drive. I could do this. No problem. So, you know, like I went, but my heart wasn't in it. Like I wasn't like, oh, yay, Gen Con, because I didn't sign up for anything.
Yeah, so you couldn't do anything.
I couldn't do shit. There was nothing to do.
Other than the wandering around parts.
Yeah.
Which has its own appeal, I guess.
But this was really the Gen Con of Star Wars. It was fucking Fantasy Flight.
That's rough.
You know what, though? I love the original series. I love 4, 5, and 6. I don't care what anyone says about that. Yeah. I know you're like, eh.
Empire.
And, well, even New Hope and Empire. And
New Hope's pretty garbage.
I love Jedi.
But I was going to go to Tosh Station to pick up some power converters.
You know what, though? In comparison to Anakin, that's fucking Shakespeare, man. That's fucking Hamlet.
That doesn't matter. Just because you compare something to something far worse doesn't make the already bad thing better.
Yes, it does. It actually does.
It doesn't.
It makes it infinite.
It just makes the other thing worse.
Yeah.
It's like, this is bad. This is worse.
Yeah.
This thing remains bad, even though this thing is worse.
Well, Fantasy Flight, the big thing that they had out was, what is it, Armada? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. The Star Destroyers.
That was gorgeous.
The Doritos. The Doritos ships in space.
Dun, dun. Bum, bum, ba-da-ba-da. Bum, bum, ba-da-ba-da. Dun, 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 dun.
But it was just maracas.
But yeah, as I
their bold flavor is overwhelming our defenses.
Launch the Doritos and launch the Mountain Dew.
Yeah, the Star Destroyers are just giant Doritos that fire Mountain Dew.
Yeah, I played a demo of it. It's very, very similar to Attack Wing. However, it's done better. Like, it's like, you know, everything I liked about Star Trek Attack Wing, where it's like capital ships fighting each other, this was done infinitely better. And it has starfighter bases.
Yeah, so it has little stands.
Yeah, they're unpainted, though, for some fucking reason. I don't know why.
Well, it's probably because it's a prototype.
From what I hear, it's not. That's how they're going to come in the box.
Oh, I don't know.
I hope not.
It looked like they were painted on the website, like even the little stand guys.
Yeah, I looked at it on the website. They didn't look painted, though. At least, whatever. They had them at the Gen Con, and I was playing them. The system works a little different, like, because you know how you have the little markers, like, this guy's going to move this way, and this guy's going to move this way. You have, like, a stack thing in Attack Wing where it's, like, you set up your moves 3 turns ahead. So you know exactly what's going to be moving, you know, in what order. So it's cool. I like it. Ever since I started playing Bolt Action, I've really liked non-I-go-you-go ways of doing things. You know what I'm saying?
No, you like I-go-you-go, alternating.
Where well, I like alternating, but I don't like I
you don't
do
like
everything.
Full turn alternation.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Right, which is why I said, like, that's why Dark Age is one of my favorites, because it's always, I move one thing, you move one thing, and then so on and so forth.
I mean,
there's no big sweeping turn where you just get shit on because they rolled really well.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, well, yeah, I guess you're like your 100 las guns totally killed me, so yeah. I lose.
Your burkers. Oh, no, bolters!
Burlters!
Yeah, but it was really cool. All the ships look fucking gorgeous. I still, that fucking price tag on it is really high.
I don't know how much it is.
I from what I saw, $100 retail.
I don't think it'll matter.
I don't think so either, but all the demo games that
did they have Imperial Ass Alt?
Yes, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Ass
but
Alt.
Because I wanted to really... The bigger problem I saw with it was they were demoing it with 2 starter sets. So immediately you have 2 Victory Class Star Destroyers, 2 Blockade Runners, 2 Medical Frigates, and a bunch of, you know, starships. And I'm like, why are you demoing it like this? Because this makes it look like this is what I have to play a decent game of it, which I'm sure it is. I mean, look at fucking Attack Wing. Attack Wing was the same way. You have to have 2 starter sets to play a decent game of that.
Actually, if you're playing the Imperials, you just need to have as many TIE fighters as you have points.
Daka, 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 daka. Wait, they don't go Daka. They should. That'd be awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's a TIE fighter noise.
That was pretty good TIE fighter noise. I was impressed by that. But yeah, they had they had that out there, and that was like the game of the show.
Did you do that at all while you were playing?
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, I was doing all the music. I was doing it dun 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 because I was playing Imperials. Because if you're gonna play that game, play the fucking Imperials.
That's all it's gonna be is Imperials versus Imperials. Be like, and we've got yet another tournament. There's 22 players. We have 21 Imperials and 1 Rebel.
I will play.
he's just cosplaying as Lando Calrissian.
This deal gets worse every time. my, you certainly belong with us up here in the clouds.
Fucking Billy D.
Fucking the greatest character in all of science fiction. I won't play Rebels until I get my Mon Cal cruiser, just so I can play as Akbar. Everything. I'm gonna talk like this for everything.
I'll be like, I don't understand what you said you're gonna do.
I'm moving my ship this way.
and just knock your fucking ship over and be like, I've won.
It's like, we can either go with the dude in the all-black armor who's got the lightsaber and is, like, voiced by James Earl Jones, or we can go with the manic fish man. What are we going to go with as our
and
leader?
And like, the slowest and most limp-wristed lightsaber fight ever in A New Hope. And just like... They like spin them in circles at each other.
Yeah, there was a lot behind that right there. That was, but you know what? Going back and watching that in terms of the 1970s, it was decent. I mean, I'm not gonna like, it's not like it's fucking, you're gonna have Alec Guinness jumping around. It's fucking Alec Guinness. The dude was like 90 years old then. But yeah, aside from that, and David Prowse wasn't doing that much better anyway. But yeah, Rebel, that...
Well, you didn't want to hurt that old man.
Yes, exactly.
I don't want to hurt the old man!
Apparently, that's what David Prowse sounded like. like when he was doing his lines, like, David, he's like,
you're a rebel spy and a traitor!
No, he sounded more like...
like a Muppet.
No, I think he sounded more like kind of like Michael Caine. He sounded
like a fucking Muppet.
When you listen to the original...
You want
to
be the Batman. Like, you hang it up. You decide... Whether or not you're going to be Batman.
In order to do Michael Caine, you got to first start by saying his name.
No,
Michael
you're doing
Caine.
It wrong.
No, I am doing Michael Caine correctly.
No, that's terrible.
You are doing Michael Caine
mine
like a moron.
Mine is the best.
Yeah, sure.
You want to be the Batman.
God, it's so bad. The size of a tangerine.
That's terrible. No,
my Michael Caine.
You're not talking about Batman, so you're doing a terrible Michael Caine.
Oh, okay.
Like, you don't know
you
anything.
Are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away. That's how he sounded.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right. dueling Michael Caine.
The only one convinced that you're Michael Caine is you.
And Michael Caine's like, oh, that's a pretty good Michael Caine.
No.
It's
not accurate.
I would recommend Armada. The price tag is really high on it, though, for what you're getting. I mean, granted, everything is really pretty in the set, and they already have all of, like, a couple expansions coming out. For it, like they previewed a bunch of it. I'm gonna put up some pictures today on the Facebook page, but it's just that price tag is really heavy on that for the initial starter.
Did you pose hard style without a shirt and a bunch of magic cards in front of a Garrick standee?
Yeah, I did do that.
Yes,
gotta
get that posted up as well.
And also the Rebel, what is it? Rebel Assault? Not Rebel Assault.
Imperial Assault.
Imperial Assault. Rebel Assault.
Imperial
the video game.
Assault.
It's just Star Wars Descent. Yep. That's all it is, and it's. It's not really that good.
I don't know. People love Descent, so.
They do. I mean, I was looking and I'm like, ugh.
It's also got a versus mode. Did you see
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you could play 1v1 on it, which yeah. I get.
1v1 me, brah.
But why wouldn't you just play the Star Wars minigame with that,
that
then?
That game doesn't exist.
Yeah, it does.
You
no,
can
still buy handfuls of the figures. Fill your bathtub
up. They use D20.
Fill your bathtub.
That was a terrible system. We used D20.
Well, yeah.
Like, do you want to play a D20 war game, Joe?
No.
Okay, then you don't want to play the Star Wars minigame.
I was having this exact same conversation with someone at Gen Con. Why in the fuck would anybody play, would anybody design a war game that wasn't D6? Every non-D6 war game out there tends to do terribly in the long run.
You could do one on D10s, but I mean, it's a D20 system, which means you're rolling a D20 to hit, and then you have the various sizes for damage.
Well, yeah, I know.
That's a horrible idea to do for a war game.
Yeah, Antares does D10.
Yeah, D10s is viable, because D10s you can base off of percentages.
Yeah, I guess,
you can be like, you know, you need a 6, so you know that you have a 60% chance.
By the way, remember how I was bitching about the D10 system last podcast, like about not having enough D10s? They're selling packs of D10s now.
See, you're the only person in the fucking universe who doesn't have enough D10s. Like, I have plenty of them. I don't know what your problem is.
Hey, Pat B, you got D10s? Oh yeah, I got pockets full. It just opens up.
Pat B, not a tabletop gamer.
Yeah, I know.
I would not expect, I said tabletop, but I meant to say tabletop.
I know what you meant.
But I would not expect him to have D10s. You, who is a tabletop gamer, loosely... I would expect to have D10s.
And so also just finishing up on the Fantasy Flight, they had there's a new faction for X-Wing attack wing. They're doing
how the hell do you have a new faction in a
doing,
two faction
they're,
game?
They're doing like a whole bounty hunter Black Sun mercenary.
They're Imperials.
Kinda.
Nope, they're fucking Imperials. They don't ever do any work for the fucking Rebels at all.
Yes,
they're
they do.
Imperials. Yeah, because, you know, Bosk and Greedo were hanging out with Luke.
Well, no,
and they were like, let's go take out Vader.
Well,
and
no,
then IG-88 gave him a high five.
That sounds great.
My robot butt is tingling.
No, really, that's where I get my messages. It's on vibrate. Text me again, Luke.
No, it's like the Black Sun from what's the fucking game Shadows of the Empire. Remember that with Shizor? Yeah, it's those guys. Probably Talon Card from the fucking.
What about Dash Rendar?
No, Dash Rendar is
the
in the Imperials.
Shittiest fucking name
you
ever.
Take that back. Dash Rendar was a hero who sacrificed himself for the rebellion.
Dash Rendar. One of the shittiest names in all of fiction. Not just science fiction, in all
no,
of fiction.
I love that name.
My name's Dash Rendar. It's like, wow, thanks for coming, Dash, asshole.
Isn't it like the greatest like fan fiction name of all time?
It really is. It's like some fucking 12-year-old boy's like, his name is Dash Rendar. He's a half Mandalorian, all Jedi. Rebellion, he could defeat the Empire single-handedly, but he doesn't do it because he knows that Luke needs to grow as a person and become a stronger Jedi overall. But Dash Rendar totally could. So after he hijacked 3 Super Star Destroyers and crashed them all into each other and then jumped out into space and flew around with his Mandalorian jetpack, throwing his lightsaber into TIE fighters, pulling them back to his hand, he then kissed and made out with 27 Princess Leias. Yeah.
Twi'lek slave girls, Steve. Twi'lek
whatever.
Slave girls. Also, he dual wields lightsabers.
No, double-bladed.
No, because he didn't have that back in the day.
Well, this kid made it up. He made it up as staff. He's like, yeah!
No, everyone during the West End days, it was always about dual-wielding lightsabers. It's like, no, you can't dual-wield lightsabers, for fuck's sake. There's no Jedis.
Dash Rendar.
I remember actually.
That's so bad.
Going back to the West End, there was one expansion where it was these crazy like fucking nobles would carry around lightsabers, but they weren't force adept, so they would constantly be cutting off each other's arms and shit.
I mean, from what I've seen of the Star Wars films, many force adepts do cut off each other's.
No, but
arms.
I mean like their own hands and yeah. Shit. Yeah.
I was making a joke about fucking the dismemberment fetish that is like. Actually, like, fully encompassing Star Wars.
Stump fucking?
There's a dismemberment fetish, all I can say. I mean,
yeah. They also had the 40K card game there. That
Conquest.
Conquest.
Which is the weirdest thing ever, because it's like, you don't play a single faction. It's all, like, faction plus ally faction.
Yeah.
And they have, like, a long list of things you can, like, combine.
Yeah, it looked okay. I mean, I'm not, you know me, I don't, it's like card games. Fuck that shit. Made me stand in fucking line to get you your goddamn Lord of the Rings card game that can only get it from tournaments.
It's fucking garbage.
I don't know. I don't make the rules.
They didn't have the details up there. They were just like, it'll be available at Gen Con. And I was like, oh, hey, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Well, that was the only fucking details. It'd be available.
Did you have the, because they had the packs from like 2012 or 2013.
I have a lot of the packs, oh, so yeah. I need to
They had all of those. Yeah. But
I didn't want to just like randomly be like, just grab them. Because then you'd have been like, oh, hey, here's the one you already have. And I'll be like,
yeah. The guy would have been like, there's only available if you play in the tournaments. And I'm like, I'm not going to play in a Lord of the Rings tournament. Fuck you, Steve.
I don't even know how to play this game.
I should have signed up, and I would have stood there and gotten the whole card. All the cards just been sitting there and been like, I fold.
That's not even how it works.
I know.
You're not even playing against someone.
I know, but that's what I would have been like. I would have just playing by myself. I fold.
That's good.
And then I take the card pack and I leave.
That would have been fine.
You would have been okay with that.
I would have been okay with that. Yeah. That's fine. I'll just get it later. They're all available on print on demand anyway. So,
yeah.
It was more like a convenience thing because I knew you were going to be there.
Yeah.
So.
It was, you know, aside from they had Paizo, of course, had like fucking line out the door for fucking pre painted ass minis. Tyranny of Dragons. D&D had a big thing for that. I went to the Tyranny of Dragons release party.
Yeah. How was that?
It was dragonrific. There was a lot of thumping music and a guy dressed as a barbarian talking about, like, dragons.
Is that an actual thing?
Yeah, it was out in, like, okay, so, I don't know when the last time you went there, but they had the whole boulevard with the fucking food trucks.
Uh-huh.
They cut off about half of that on Friday night to do the big Tyranny of Dragons release party. It was cool. I mean, it was kind of expensive, but it wasn't bad. I mean, for the beer, what I'm saying.
Right.
But it wasn't, like, it was the same as going to a bar. It was just nice. It was fun.
How was the food truck situation this year?
Fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
They like doubled the number of trucks.
Nice.
It was still a line if you went there at like peak hours, but I got really drunk on Friday night, and I was kind of wandering around the food truck area because they were there till 10. So around like 9:15, I was walking around. There was no one out there. So I just go up to trucks and be like, what you got? And they'd be like, we have buffalo chicken macaroni and cheese. I'm like, that sounds fucking fantastic. Give me that.
Give it to me. Yeah. Just pour it into my mouth.
And then I was just
nice.
And then my anus hurt the next day. But
I mean, that wasn't from the buffalo chicken.
Whoa! But yeah, that was
that was from the fucking Victory Class Star Destroyer. You tried to smuggle out of Gen Con. One of our Star Destroyers is gone. All right, everyone, start checking players' anuses. Nice.
Oh man, but the BO factor was really bad this year.
In all zones or in because traditionally the smelliest part of Gen Con is the board game room, because that's where all the like super old crusty grognards sit, and they go there on Wednesday, park their ass in a seat, and don't leave that spot until they are kicked out.
No, it was more like Nausicaa Valley of the Wind, where it was like a floating miasma that would just come and people would be like, it's the miasma, run! And
they'd have to be walking around and you just get hit by the blast.
And it's like you see everything just dying like around it, like fucking not Temple of Doom, Raiders style, just like, it's beautiful. Yeah, that was really, it was like pockets. It would literally, like, you'd be walking, and then all of a sudden, like, just hit you. And you'd be like, oh, fucking hell. What nice. The hell is that?
Yeah. All right, so that's an interesting shift, because normally the stank is contained at Gen Con. So now you're saying that there's no permeating stench. There's small clouds.
It's roaming, kind of like The Last of Us, where it's like you'd go into a room and you'd be like, oh, look, you got to put your mask on.
Yeah, all right.
I saw Robotech there. They had the Robotech stuff there. You know, I of course, I'm not going to stir up trouble. I'm not you. You'd be like, so, Robotech figures suck, right? You
know. I've just been like, how about that Kickstarter? Just walk by.
Kickstarter.
Just walk by.
Yeah, that was, they had the stuff out there. I know, like, I get why people are upset by that.
What about Wrath of Kings?
No Wrath of Kings. I didn't see Wrath of Kings at all. They delayed it again, by the way. I don't know if you know that. With the Robotech, it's like, I get why people are mad about it. They don't want to put together like 20-piece models. They just don't. I mean, but that's something that I really like doing. So.
But that's not what it was supposed to be.
I get that. So that's why I have a hard time like with people like this, because first of all, I never really cared about Robotech. And we've talked about this before. Robotech, I never cared about it as a kid. I didn't really care about it now.
I had a Veritech fighter and one Rick figure, so.
Yeah. Rick! I never really cared about it. So, like, I look at it, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't mind putting together a couple of these things. But then again, like, people on the Kickstarter ordered, like, 5,000 of them. So,
right. And also, that's not what they ordered, you know?
Yeah, I know. I get it.
Like, if you ordered a bunch of Ewoks, because you're scum, and they sent you a bunch of Jawas.
Yep.
You'd be pissed.
These guys are not yub-yubs, they're utinis. I don't need utinis, I need yub-yubs.
And you'd smack them off the table like a child.
Okay. So I met up with the Ninja Division guys. They're great guys.
Did you see Vendor Badge?
I saw Vendor Badge.
Nice.
Did
you remember to call him Vendor Badge?
I did call him. I saw him at the bar and I said, Vendor Badge!
Yes!
Like, oh, I get classy! So, but they're awesome. And in spite of you trashing their game on the podcast, which we did talk about...
I love the miniatures.
They were awesome, and they gave us a bunch of shit to give away on the podcast. So
actual feces?
Yes, actual feces.
Nice.
They gave us the boxes for the Kickstarter exclusive figures.
Oh, wow.
They're making these available in December online.
Oh, man, we got Sebastian Cross.
I'm missing a box. It's probably in my car.
Pretty
still.
Sweet. We got Kisa. I think you might have knocked one out while you were flipping it over. All right, we got Kisa. Little cat girl action. We got One Shot. It's a steampunk-esque lady with a little
They're all the
musket.
They're all the figures from what's it called?
Relic Knights.
Relic Knights. Yeah.
Then we got a Calico Kate. Her bomb, little skull on it, and then we got Princess Malia.
So for
I'll take the princess.
So for these, I'll send them to the winner of this little contest we're going
to
do.
You sent them all to one person? Damn, son, what a sweet prize.
It is a sweet prize. So if you want to win these guys, they're great figures. I mean, these are fucking fantastic looking figures.
I think the figures are great. That was the one comment I made when I was when I was shitting all over the game. I was like, but you know what? Those models are pretty great.
What I would this is what the contest is. Email me at joe@planetarbitrary.com something, one thing that Steve has been absolutely fucking wrong about on the podcast.
Oh, look at you getting all salty. Joe's really feeling the fact that people favor me.
Oh, we favor Steve. Just the vocal minority.
Uh-huh. Whenever you got to tell yourself to sleep at night.
That's right. Actually, I never really get salty about anything, but the one guy was like, when I posted, like, going to Adepticon, if I'm not back in 48 hours, you know, get revenge or whatever, or avenge my death. And someone was like, it's okay, we could go on without you and just Steve. I'm like, yeah, good luck with that.
Yes.
Steve doing a podcast. I should record a podcast. I'm going to play some video games instead.
I would never exactly. I would never record.
Exactly.
Ever.
That made me laugh. I'm like, yeah, good luck with that.
I guess if you had a heart attack and left your recording equipment here, if you died right now, you fell over, I would shuffle your corpse outside, and then I would be able to record. Because I'd still have the recording equipment.
And now you're like, how do I put this on the internet? And you'd be like, podcast to the internet. Did it work?
I am an internet master, let you know.
Okay. But yeah, so email me, joe@planetarbitrary.com. Something Steve has been wrong about on the podcast, whether it's about a game, whether it's about his terrible taste in movies.
You've got terrible taste in movies, sir.
TV shows. I don't like Mel Brooks. Who the fuck says
Mel
that?
Mel Brooks is a shit stain.
See, that's what I'm talking about. If you disagree with Steve about something, put it on there, and I will pick the one that I probably most agree with or the one I find funniest, and then I'll read it on the podcast, and then I will send you the Super Dungeon Explorer.
So you just got to make it up and pander to what Joe wants to hear.
Exactly. And yeah, I'll send it to you. So this one is open to overseas. Don't make it for like Iraq or Nigeria or anything like that, because I don't want to send to a war zone.
No, Nigeria is just gonna scam you out of your money.
Oh yeah, the Nigerian princes. But yeah, when you send it to joe@planetarbitrary.com, also include your address. So in case you do win, I know to send it to you right away. I don't have to like email you back and be like, what's your fucking address?
And I've got another contest, actually.
Oh, what do you got?
We can run simultaneously.
Well, why don't we wait till like the next one, and then we'll run that podcast. We'll run that contest. So we have like, we don't have two simultaneous contests going at the same time.
This one's
going
to involve shitting on Joe.
Okay. So there we go. So we'll shit on Steve on this one, and then we can shit on Joe on the next one. Right there. What else did I fucking do? Oh yeah. Well, they had the Ninja Division also had out the Relic Knights stuff. And, you know, I asked them about it. I was like, you know, so what's going on with the molds and things like that. And they were like, well, you know, that's just what we had to deal with the Kickstarter and, you know, who we were going through at the time.
So we were correct.
Mm-hmm. So he was like, we're actually going back and redoing a lot of the sculpts and doing the masters for the sculpts and getting like a better quality resin on it. And he showed me like some examples of what they're doing. Like they redid Calico Kate and the fucking model looks gorgeous now. So I don't, you know, I feel bad for the people who kickstarted it, but everything's starting to look really good right now. So maybe if they haven't gotten something, it might come back. They might get like
a second
wave.
Yeah, you gotta remember, anyone in Kickstarter, gotta remember, they kickstarted a different company's miniatures game.
Yeah. And now I guess Ninja Division's working with Hawk and the people who do Helldorado. So like that's Ninja Division. So it's Helldorado.
Didn't they take the other one as well? Fuck. What the hell is it? Anima?
I don't know if they got Anima Tactics. I know they have Hawk. Hawk Industries, who does the Drop Zone Commander, is working with them. The people who do Helldorado, those crazy foreigners. There was a guy there in Helldorado cosplay, which
that's pretty
was
sweet.
Really, yeah, it was weird. He was like in a full Sultan outfit. It was weird.
That's awesome. Did he have the swirly shoes?
I don't know.
Fuck.
How could you not look
at the swirly shoes?
I don't know.
If someone's in a Sultan cosplay, the first thing you should look at is their shoes. Gotta have the swirl.
Yeah. So I mean, like, I know I'm biased for Ninja Division because I love that fucking company. I love their product. I think they're really great guys, but fuck it.
I think their models are great.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying, like, you're so fucking wrong. I love that game so much.
It's so bad. It's like casual scum game. Like, it's super casual scum game. And it's not balanced. It's not competitively balanced, so I don't like it.
Yeah.
If the game is not competitive and it's not competitively balanced, I'm going to shit on it.
I don't
think... That's the rules.
I don't think it
No, because the game is so fucking swingy. If you don't have like an ideal group, and you just get shit out on you get shit out in the first turn as the DM, and it's like, oh, well, the players are gonna win instantly. Like it's a foregone. You can tell who's going to win the game of Super Dungeon Explorer after the first turn.
Well, yeah, I.
It's a foregone conclusion.
I get that, but what bothers me is I don't think it necessarily has to be like a super, like you can have fun playing the game. You don't necessarily like, okay, so playing, let's say Warhammer, for example, me, like I would know that necessarily I'm not going to win after like turn two, right? Like that's usually like playing sixth edition, but I'd still play through because I enjoy playing against the person.
Warhammer, also not a competitively balanced game.
I know, and I know how you feel about it. But I'm saying that's like, that's kind of how I feel about it. It's like, it's not necessarily, for me, it's more about playing the other person. And if we're Super Dungeon Explorer, I don't really like playing that game. I'll be the first to admit, I hate the 1v1 system. The original, like the newer one with the warbands, much better.
I did straight 1v1 base game.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. But I do have more fun like playing against a group of people, like either as Dungeon Master or in the Warband party. I think that's kind of how it runs much better that way. And that's why I'm saying it's like, I don't think you had a lot of fun playing it because you played it in like you say, you weren't playing it the most optimal way, but I don't think you were having the most optimal fun.
Right, and I don't think there is a way to have optimal fun with that game for me.
Yeah, for you.
Because it's not competitively balanced. That's the thing. Because if I played with two other people, and I was looking at, like, all I would be doing is looking at them making the wrong move.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, wow, way to go. Great job. You really gave the GM an opening. Good job. Well played. I'm really glad that you sat down to play the game with us today.
So that's why I say...
It's like, I need to play games that have... Like, they need to be at a certain... They don't have to be perfectly balanced, because that's impossible.
Yeah.
They don't have to have no luck, because that's also impossible, or not fun.
Take a look at the website. Look for the Warbands 1v1 rules. Take a look at those.
Do you just, like, fight each other with heroes?
You have heroes, and then you build up a warband with the, like, the monsters of the dungeon. So, like, there's a zombie warband coming out.
So you, like, battle at each other?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a different game, though.
Yeah, I'm saying...
That's not the game.
Take a look at that. And what I was talking with the guys, and they were saying totally going to FAQ at every quarter. So, if something's coming on,
that sounds like a game I'd be very interested in playing. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Take a look at it.
So again, like I said, what I was talking about and what I reviewed was the base game 1v1, because that's what I played.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Take it with a grain of salt, people, because I still think he did it wrong, but.
I played it.
I'll play it.
I played it suboptimally, and then I played it optimally. I was like, because the first time I played as the heroes twice, and I was like, oh, I'll just take these three, because they look like a balanced party. But they were fucking awful. I had the paladin, the rogue, and the sorceress, the one with the debuffs.
Yeah.
First turn, DM go, I lose initiative, because I didn't optimize taking the green will, or the red will, so I was like, oh, shit. So I never won initiative. So I lost the game entirely on the fact that I never won initiative. I was like, cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome game. And then the next time I built the party with the barbarian, the fucking firecaster who has the better will save, and then the princess, the buff princess.
Yeah.
Just shit on it. I was just like,
you were like,
I actually went, I was like, oh, I'm just going to go get this extra treasure because I don't need it, but I can.
Do you play your video games on easy mode?
No.
Well, then you're not playing optimally.
That's not optimal play.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to win the game.
That's not how... No.
See what I'm saying? That's what...
No, applying the best strategy is not playing on easy mode.
Yeah, but that's the best way to win the game.
Difficulty scaling is not how you're playing. Because if you're playing on easy mode, you don't need to apply any strategy. You can just, like, click the button and receive the
bacon.
Well,
that's what you're doing when you're picking the best party. You're putting on easy mode.
I just feel like, hey, this seems like it'd be a better team.
Anyway, moving on. Aside from that, there was one guy. I don't have his thing here. I was going to mention him on the fucking podcast.
Way
too.
To fuck it up.
I know. I feel like a fucking asshole, too.
You should.
He did some. Is this it? What the fuck is this? Oh, that's
Comic-Con. C2E2
shit.
Is that your instructions on how to get that dildo out of you?
Yes. I hope he emails me because he does laser cut terrain. And he was over at the Warstore booth. But we were talking, you know, afterwards at a bar. And I was saying, like, so what are you playing right now? And he was like, oh, Malfoe. And I'm like, oh, Malfoe, you know how I like to play that? I put all the figures on the table and swipe them into the garbage. And he looked at me like, like, literally, he made that gasp. And I was like, oh, shit, I got to remember. I'm not talking to, like, the fans of the podcast. You know, some people, like, get upset when I talk like
See?
That.
See? And that's what you were like when I said Mel Brooks sucked.
The bravery levels you have are so...
I just don't see how you think it's funny. The problem with you is you're so influenced by outside opinion. Because, you like, if everyone says something's good, you're very likely to say it's good.
But how was I influenced by that when I started watching Mel Brooks when I was, like, 6? It's like the person who introduced me was my dad to like Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein.
I remember watching I'll give you Blazing Saddles because it's got lots of fart jokes. So like,
I was a little kid, would be entertained
by that. But like Young Frankenstein is so unbelievably bad. That was the first Mel Brooks movie I saw. I hated that, and I was a kid when I saw it. I hated that movie so hard. I was able to carry that universal hatred of Mel Brooks from the time I was a child to now.
I don't quite get it. I think Young Frankenstein's genius. I even saw the Broadway musical.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah.
I liked Monty Python when I was a kid.
Yeah. I love Monty Python now.
I liked Monty Python and the Holy Grail. That's what I liked. Yeah. I hated Young Frankenstein. I liked Monty Python.
Yeah. Do you still like Monty Python?
Yeah. I don't talk about it too much because it's one of those things where it's like it's so just like permeated. You don't need to talk about it. Like everybody knows.
I still think nerds can claim Monty Python as opposed to like
not even about claiming. Just like I don't want to hear someone fucking spouting off the lines that I've heard for 30 years. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yes, they're the knights who say knee. That's great. He's a shrubber. Yep. Mm-hmm. God damn it.
Yeah.
Why did I do this?
I'll give you Holy Grail is a little overdone. I mean, I played the Monty Python and the Holy Grail card game back in the day. That was a great game.
That game was hilarious.
That game was fucking fantastic.
Yeah, that was a super fun game.
Sir Draw Your Own Knight or whatever the fuck it was. Sir not appearing in this film. That's pretty bad. But I mean, the good thing about Monty Python as opposed to like, I know, let's say you're universally hated Doctor Who. Okay, Doctor Who is loved by so many people right now that it's not even like... Like, you can't even call it, like nerds love Doctor Who. Everyone loves Doctor Who.
And that's interesting to me, because, like, Doctor Who, from, like, a Western standpoint, like, here in the States-os, like, was non-existent. Like, nobody ever talked about that shit.
Yeah.
Really. The older folks did.
Yeah, well, as hardcore nerds did.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying,
exploded, like, recently, which is interesting to me.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying is, like... Well, I mean, the whole nerd culture exploded recently.
That's true. So I blame the Big Bang Theory.
I blame the fucking internet is what I do. Because you don't really have this till like 04, 05 when like people really started getting broadband internet. And now all of a sudden like everyone's like, I like Doctor Who too. I like Star Wars. Like, you know what? When I was fucking growing up in 1993, 94, I never went out and said, I love Star Wars. You know why? Because I'd get the shit beat out of me. And that's just partly where I grew up. But I mean, now it's like I like... Hey, who here in this room likes Star Wars? Oh, I like Star Wars. I like Star Wars. I like Star Wars. Because people don't have that fear anymore of growing up with it. That's why I have issues with Hardwick and the Nerdist podcast. Because he's like, nerd culture is all about being accepting of other people. It's like, no, nerd culture is about hiding what you love.
Nerd culture is about oppression.
Exactly. It is. It's like, you don't realize that I had to hide all of my nerdiness for a long time. It's why I married someone who's not really nerdy. Like, my wife, she's nerdy about a lot of things, like knitting and watching the Outlander TV show.
Outlander!
I keep calling it Highlander, and she gets mad at me.
I just call it Outlander.
Yeah. Outlander! The Sean Connery vehicle.
Oh, there's a... What the fuck is it? There's a movie called Outlander.
Yeah, Sean Connery?
Is it Sean Connery?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. I just remember there's a guy who's just like, Outlander!
It's like...
Calling him out.
I get confused because I think of him in the Zardoz outfit.
The fucking red panties?
Yeah.
Yes. That's classic Connery.
But I'm sitting... It's like when I was growing up, it was like, don't tell people you like this because they'll think you are weird. And I'm like, okay, and that stayed with me for years and years and years, which is even till now. Like, yes, I have the podcast and I have the internet and I'm able to give an outlet to it, but I don't wear my nerdiness on my sleeve, aside from now I'm wearing a Venture Brothers t-shirt, but it's not like...
I'm wearing an Earthbound t-shirt, so I've got some nerdiness going.
But if I'm walking around, like, let's say, you know, downtown Chicago, and I see someone wearing a Venture Brothers t-shirt, I don't go, hey, nice fucking t-shirt! Nah! Because I'm like...
I mean, I don't do that at all.
But people do that to me.
I don't want to be harassed on the street by randos, so I would not harass randos on the street.
People do that to me. I went and I just bought a suit from the Men's Warehouse, and I was wearing a Community t-shirt that from the TV show Community, and person goes, hey, I love that show. Yeah, it's great. I'm like,
the magician!
I'm just like, come on. You don't need to comment on my t-shirt. I know Community's great. That's why I'm wearing a fucking t-shirt that says I like Community. I wouldn't wear a t-shirt for a show I hate. You will never see me wearing a Bazinga t-shirt.
Yes, because that's super trash.
Which, I'm glad that we came into that because I could curtail it to a lot of fucking people at Gen Con wearing Bazinga t-shirts.
Yep. Yeah, I guess they just deny the fact that they're being made fun of.
Yeah.
That's all it is. The interesting about it's funny we talked about nerddom. I kind of was reverse when I came up when I was a kid because, like, the nerdy things I got into first were just, like, universally, like, cool. Like, aliens. Like, I loved aliens. Like, so Ghostbusters, because, like, I was talking to my friend who was like, oh, fucking, talking about the new Ninja Turtles movie. And he's just like, oh, fucking Michael Bay is going to fucking shit all over it. And I'm just like, you know, I don't know. The Turtles have been shit on a million times.
Yeah.
And I was never big on the Turtles. When I was a kid, like at that age group, I liked Ghostbusters. Like people who had the Ninja Turtles toys, I had the Ghostbusters toys. Because I had the Ghostbusters cartoon. It's the jam. Like, that's what I liked. So I was never big on the Turtles. I liked Ghostbusters and Transformers. Yeah. And that was it. And then like before I liked Star Wars, I liked the 20th Century Fox aliens.
Yeah.
So like Ripley and, you know, Alien 1 and Predator.
Get off of her, you bitch.
Predator.
Yeah,
that's how I got into it. And then like another thing with comedy too, like when I first watched comedy movies, like I don't actually like most comedy movies because it's funny. You were like, oh, it sucks. And it's like, I actually hate majority of comedies. Like, I do not like comedic films. I find a lot of them terrible with exception, Laurel and Hardy, the fucking jam.
Laurel and Hardy. I mean, I like Laurel and Hardy too, but I'm like, I like all of those older ones. I like watching fucking Marx Brothers and.
Yeah, the Marx Brothers are pretty good. So that's it. I guess I like retro comedy. Like,
yeah, I get whatever. But I mean, yeah, it's I think we could take one thing away from this conversation. It's that The Big Bang sucks.
Absolutely. Yeah. We can definitively agree that The Big Bang Big Bang Theory is awful.
Speaking of which, speaking of two things that you hate, I listened to the free Drist audiobooks
Drist Duerden.
Because it's read by a bunch of celebrities.
Yeah, I saw that.
And actually, like,
how does Ice-T do? Is it good?
It's pretty good. I mean, his pronunciation of a lot of things is bad, but I'm like, I don't expect a lot of people to be able to pronounce Mezobranzen and Drist Duerden and, you know,
yeah,
all those other fuckers. You know, fucking Johnny Grudgehammer.
Johnny Grudgehammer.
I don't know. Whatever the fucking. But Melissa Rauch, who's in The Big Bang Theory, also reads one, and her pronunciations are just awful. It's just like, I get Drist, but she's like Drizzed. And I'm like, that's just weird sounding to me.
Most people say Drizzit. Yeah, if you Drizzit. Just look at it, they say Drizzit.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be Dritzed, but it's like Drizzit works. Yeah, like, that seems to be like the most common, like, oh, Drizzit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, most of them are pretty good.
I think I've called him Drizzit before, too. So.
Drizzit.
Drizzit
do.
He's a
Yordan?
He's a poop character, so I don't really care if I like offend anyone by mispronouncing his poop name.
I just, for me, like, yeah, I agree with you. Drist is not a great character. He's very.
He's Katana Guy. He is the officially licensed Dungeons & Dragons Katana Guy.
I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, like, I like him because he's.
I'm going against the culture of my evil people. I am a good, lawful good dark elf.
I think that's.
And I'm dual wielding immaculate katana blades. And I have a panther ally.
I think what I don't like about him is he's lawful good, but he's like he tries to be badass lawful good. And it's like, anytime I meet anybody who's trying to be badass, it's just like, fucking hell, you're just trying too hard.
And he's an obvious tryhard.
Like, that's exactly what it
he's
is.
He's an obvious tryhard.
It's like, come on, man. Have a little fun. Like, that's why I like, what's the other Dark Elf character? I don't know if you know that series well, but like Jalaxor, I think that's his name.
Oh, I don't, I read one Drist book, and that was fucking enough.
I read them, and you know, I read Drow of the Underdark and Drist's Guide to the Mesmerism.
And fucking R.A. Salvatore's boner for like 60-page sword fights is really
R.A. Salvatore is
just like, come on, dude, get it. It's a fucking sword fight. It doesn't need to be 60 pages.
I don't
pages.
Know. Would this be controversial if I said R.A. Salvatore is not a really good writer?
He's not.
Right. But whatever. The audiobook was fun. So if you, it's, well, first of all, it was free. So you got, and if you like audiobooks, it's a no-brainer there.
Yeah, I love audiobooks.
Yeah, I do too. And it was read by a bunch of celebrities, and most of them are pretty good. Like Tom Felton, the guy who does Draco Malfoy, does one.
Nice.
His accent's pretty thick, though, so it's kind of hard to understand what he's saying a lot of times. And then, but one of the better ones was,
Churlish.
It's Churlish.
Churlish.
I can't think of, like, there was a couple that were pretty good. Danny Pudi's, I think, was the best.
The fuck's Danny Pudi? That's a fucking hilarious name.
He's
Danny Pudi.
He's Indian.
Pudi.
He's from a community.
You know, if I eat too many beans, I get Pudi.
He's from a Community, the TV show. I know you never watched it, so that's why it's like I realized once I said it, it's like, oh, well, Steve doesn't know who this fucker is.
Is he the
he's the Indian guy.
Raj?
Abed. Yeah.
Why did I say Raj?
Because he's from the Big Bang Theory.
Ah, okay.
Asshole. But yeah, so I don't know. I didn't have much else to say about Gen Con.
Gen Corn.
Gen Con is the place you want to go. Someone mentioned about cosplay. Mm. Gen Con is the place you want to go.
There's a lot of fucking cosplay there. Yeah. And superheroes, too, from what I saw.
Yeah. Well, Gen Con's the place you want to go if you want to see your favorite character in real life fatter than they normally are. That's the place to go to see it, so.
Yeah.
Steve's just
not excited. That's how you're going to play? That's how you're going
to
play it?
I mean, I don't need to see, you know, fat versions of my favorite characters. I'd never seen a fat dark elf till I went to Gen Con. So, there you go.
Man.
I hate fucking, like, I'm the worst person to ask about
it. Right, you could just end your statement. I'm the worst person. You can end your statement.
I'm the worst person in the world when it comes to cosplay. Because if cosplay belongs in, it's like, there needs to be, like, a cosplay corral. Like, a big fucking, like, fenced-in area that all the cosplayers go to. And they can all take pictures of themselves, and people can take pictures of them like they're at a fucking zoo. I don't need that on the floor when I'm trying to get from point A to point B to buy shit. And I want to stop because some asshole has to take a picture of some dude dressed up as a steampunk. I don't need that.
This, coming from a historical gamer, is, I'm just saying. You're the bottom of the barrel when it comes to gaming. Historical gamers are the definitive worst gamers. So I don't think you got too much ground to stand on judging other people's hobbies.
No. No, fuck you. Cosplay is the worst. Bottom of the...
I said historical gamers are the bottom of gaming.
Okay.
They're the bottom barrel of gaming. So yeah. I said, because you're coming from the bottom barrel, you don't have a lot of ground to stand on.
What's the pinnacle?
The pinnacle of gaming?
Yeah.
Ooh. People role-playing well in their own home.
Okay.
That is the pinnacle. But it's because, you know why? Because it's like a fucking unicorn. You're never going to see it.
Nope. I hate cosplay. But that's the thing is, like, Gen Con...
cosplay is fun, right? Like, people want to have fun and dress in a costume and go out.
People
want to
be whores and have people take pictures of them and be like, look at me. And it's just Indianapolis Convention Center is huge. And it has giant hallways. If you're going to be in cosplay, go onto the hallway and wander around there and let people take pictures of you. Do not be on the fucking floor.
People have to go and see your face while you're walking around.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't...
But no one's taking pictures of me.
Because they're terrified.
I'm not like the Patterson Bigfoot film where I'm just walking down the convention center and someone's, like, fucking taking pictures of me. That's not happening. I don't interrupt anybody else's good time.
No one's interrupting your time.
Oh, they are. Because, like, I'm walking down the fucking halls, and I gotta stop because some asshole's taking a picture of fat Darth Vader.
Well, that's your fault for stopping. Like,
just keep walking?
Yes. Like, how are you? Well, that's your fault.
It's the people in front of me that stop as well.
You just walk around them.
Just walk right through them. Like, bro.
Just walk fucking around them. I've photobombed many, many pictures. Not intentionally.
Like the rhino from Amazing Spider-Man. Just sure. Like charge into
them. Just fucking walk past them.
Nothing can move the blob.
If it's a gangway where people are supposed to be going, like people are supposed to be walking, if people stop, you go around them. Like if I was walking on the sidewalk and you were walking in front of me and you stop, I will walk around you because this is where people are supposed to move forward.
It's easy to say in to do.
I've done it.
It's harder to do in practice. I fucking hate cosplay.
You just gotta get the chutzpah and just the fucking chutzpah. Do it.
Yeah. But aside, I like Gen Con. I think Gen Con's one of the better thrown conventions I go to. I mean, I love C2E2. C2E2 is just as great. Gen Con is a little more fun for me because it's a lot more interactive. There's a lot more stuff to do. If you plan like 4 months ahead of time, you could do a lot more stuff. But it's like that's just the one thing that always bugs me. It's only on Saturdays though that you have to deal with it. They don't really do a lot of cosplay on Fridays and Thursdays.
Does this all come from like your deep like injury when someone really made fun of your Dash Rendar cosplay super hard?
Don't make fun of my Dash Rendar cosplay.
I fucking knew it.
When Han Solo was frozen in carbonite,
they had the Empire Strikes Solo knockoff.
There had to be someone who took his place. And you know who stepped up, Steve? You know who stepped up? Dash fucking Rendar.
Yeah, the Han Solo knockoff.
The Han Solo.
Han Solo, like, he was like New Coke.
I have a ship that's like the Millennium Falcon. It's called the Outrider.
And he uses a katana blade.
And I have a katana blade.
So I said, you must have been made fun of super hard for wearing a costume at some point in your life.
I should really make a Dash Rendar cosplay just to do that.
I'm just saying, like,
and I could be fat Dash Rendar and have people take pictures
for you to be so like vehemently against something that, for all intents and purposes, has absolutely no impact on you at all.
Oh, it does.
It's you must have been hurt really bad, or maybe you were maybe you were shot down by too many evil Lins. So is that it?
I love a woman that's jaundiced.
You know, that's one thing that actually really disappoints me about every evil Lin cosplay I've ever seen. They never do the jaundice.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on,
she's fucking yellow.
Give me the yellow.
What else do we have to talk about? And there was not much in terms of like, there was a lot of cool board games there that I played, and I don't really do demos on board games that much because I'm always the type of person that's like, oh, I like this demo, I'm going to buy this game. And I do that for every fucking game I demo. So I try to stay out of it and stand back and watch the demos.
You actually play the game, you're like, this game sucks.
Well, yeah. Like, the only game that I actually watched demoed at Gen Con that I was like, this game fucking blows, XCOM. That game looked like ass.
Were they using the...
They were using the app.
Required app?
Yeah.
That's not an optional. You have to have the app.
The app, yeah. I was just like... I didn't know XCOM deserved a board game.
XCOM's huge, actually.
Well, I know it's huge, but I didn't know it deserved a board game.
There's a Gears of War board game, so like,
yeah, and no one fucking plays it.
But it sold when it came out. It people did. Fucking bought it.
Well, yeah, because
so.
They're like fucking like they're like Gears of War.
Gears
man.
Of War. Chainsaw gun.
Butt sex.
They're like Space Marines. I mean, they have chainsaw guns. Yeah, so exactly. There you go.
I saw one group of people playing the Gears of War board game in like the Hall H or whatever, called B or C or whatever the one is.
I mean, it could have been a good game, but from what I heard, it's actually pretty ass.
It is. I played it. It's ass.
The biggest issue I had with XCOM, when I heard there was an app for it, I was like, I said, oh, that's pretty cool. And then I heard the app was mandatory, and I'm like, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Because I want to buy a board game or a video game.
I don't
want to
buy both.
I don't want both at the same time.
I completely agree with
but
you.
But if it was an extra accessory. Like, hey, you can also use this app to make your game even more exciting. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's mandatory really pisses me off.
No, I completely agree.
Because that means if your particular device isn't compatible with their software, you can't play it until you get a device that's compatible with the software. Presumably, you need to have an internet connection to play it, which means you now need an internet connection to play your board game.
Yeah.
Which, sure, most people have an internet connection, but hey, your internet goes out, your power goes out, Joe, and you're like, wow, we should play some board games. Shit, we can't, because it's XCOM.
All right, let's get out Scrabble.
It's time to play Monopoly.
Let's play some Don't Wake Daddy. How about that?
Don't Wake Daddy.
There was actually a really cool, I wish I remember the name of it, but it was like a knockoff of Don't Break the Ice. Remember that game where you knock the little ice
with
cubes
the little,
up?
With the little guy, the little red guy standing in the middle, you can't knock him down? Yeah.
There was one that was, it was like that, but it was like a big tower that had these like, it was like a gem miner game, and it had these little gems that were on this like
circle. The dwarven miner, right?
Yeah, and it was like you had to like knock it, and like the gems would fall off, and you had to collect gems. I was like, that looks fun.
Yeah, there's another one like that. It's a logger game where you're playing as lumberjacks, and it's a big tree, and you have little axes, and you have to knock chunks of the tree off without knocking the tree over.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this game would be really fun while drunk.
There's
a reason why Jenga took off in the 1990s.
I like the new wave of the little kid games.
Yeah.
Because they're better components, same easy gameplay, and they look better. They like actually look nice.
Penny finally started playing some board games. We got her Cooties.
Dude, I had Cooties. Let me tell you this. Never once played that game, but I sure as shit fucking used those Cooties in fucking epic battles.
It's not like a really complicated game. You roll a die, and then whatever number is the component that you get for the Cootie. It's not a hard game.
Never did that. I just built the Cootie, and I was just like, ha ha ha.
Well,
fucking the Ghostbusters are busting the Cootie ghost.
Penny's already like fucking like getting the DM mode where, because it's like you could pick like a blue body and a pink head. She won't let you do that. No, you get the blue body, you get the blue fucking head. You don't get to pick whatever one you want. This is the one that you get. And she tells me this, like, maybe not swearing wise, but I'm like, oh, I got the green body. I'm going to take the blue head. She's like, no, you take green head.
Taking after you already, a little Gestapo.
Pretty much when it comes to. So the next step is Candyland. So that's always the next step after you get the baby games and you get the.
Fuck Plumpy. That's all I'm saying.
Fuck Plumpy.
Fuck Plumpy.
I want to play the Candy King. I'm the Candy King.
Oh. I'm King Candy.
Yeah.
Come over to get some delicious treats. That voice is also the voice of Jallo in King's Quest 6.
Well, I think that's
maybe 7. I don't remember which number it is. Look out, Prince Alexander. There's a dangerous dog soldier nearby.
Well, that's Ed. It's Ed Gwynn, I think, is the person who's supposed to be doing that.
I don't know.
Oh, fuck. Do I have anything else to talk about with Gen Con? There was a game company that's like was promoting pretty hard, and it was spelled I-E-L-L-O, but I didn't even stop by the booth because I kept. Aiello?
Yeah. Like they make King of Tokyo.
Okay. And I kept on wanting to call it like Danny Aiello, star of, you know,
No, they're a big company.
Do the Right Thing.
They make King of Tokyo. And
so is it run by Danny Aiello, star of Do the Right Thing? Mookie.
I don't know.
Famous Italian actor, Danny Aiello. No?
I'm sure I know who Danny Aiello is. I just don't care.
He's the guy who owns Sal's Pizza Place and Do the Right Thing. That Mookie threw the garbage can through the window.
Do the Right Thing.
Spike Lee joint.
Mm.
Early.
Never seen it.
I would watch it. It's a pretty good movie. Radio Raheem. No, nothing like that.
Is that anything like The Last of the Mohicans?
Yes, it's exactly like Last of the Mohicans.
All right.
Spike Lee jumps through the waterfall and is like, just stay here. I'll find you.
All right.
That movie's not really that good.
Last of the Mohicans? No, it's terrible.
It's really
It's got a good soundtrack.
It's got a fantastic soundtrack. Really slow movie.
Yeah, good soundtrack. Good soundtrack. Oh, and just like Dances with Wolves is pretty shit too.
Oh, Dances with Wolves is terrible. I rewatched that recently. I'm like, Nettie Bumpo. No, that's Last of the Mohicans.
Although I like The Postman.
So. Did you used to be someone?
Yeah, I like The Postman. I don't know. I like Waterworld.
I like Waterworld too.
Yeah. I don't know. Like people always shit on Kevin Costner and I'm like people always shit on the movies I like that Kevin Costner's in and they always like the movies I hate. I don't get it.
I don't know.
Like I like Waterworld and I like The Postman. I fucking hate Dances with Wolves. Field of Dreams is garbage. Every other movie I think I've ever seen with Kevin Costner is shit.
Yeah.
Oh, not the one where he's a psycho killer. It's awesome.
Psycho killer.
Fuck. What the hell is it? It's him and Jeff Bridges. I think it's either Jeff Bridges or pretty sure it's Jeff Bridges. So Kevin Costner's insane, and he's got a friend who only he can see. I can't fucking remember the name of it. Damn it. Fuck. I'll see if I can remember, find it out.
I don't know.
That was a good
one.
I'm
going to go listen to some Talking Heads, though.
Talented? No, it wasn't the Talented Mr. Glass. Was it Mr. Glass? Just Mr. Glass. Fuck. Now I don't know.
Yeah,
now I'm just thinking of the Hudsucker proxy.
Hula hoops. Mr. Brooks.
Mr. Brooks.
I know that.
That movie was fucking sweet.
I never saw that one.
It's good.
Is it? I'll give it a try.
It's good.
Yeah. Kevin Costner was also in Man of Steel.
That was a great movie.
I'm still a little torn on it. Like the only thing I didn't like about Kevin Costner's portrayal, I didn't like Kevin Costner's portrayal of Pa Kent. I thought like the scene where he's like going to get sucked up by the tornado and he's like, no, I'm like, he's Superman. He can literally move fast enough that people won't see that he's moving that fast. But he's like, no, I would rather die in this tornado than get rescued by my son who has superpower. Like what? What's this? What? This doesn't make any sense.
Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
When it comes, I didn't like that. I like the movie. Don't get me wrong. I felt like way too dark. Like after watching a lot of Marvel movies that deal with serious subject matter but can do it in a kind of a lighter tone, I like. You know, have you seen Guardians yet?
I did.
Did you like it?
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was very, very, very good. One of the best movies I've ever seen.
It's like,
let alone best comic book movie.
It is. In my opinion,
that movie's good for your heart.
It is. It's like one of the best non-Star Wars Star Wars movies out there. Like it it captured a lot of that feeling.
I'd say calling it Star Wars is an insult to Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, it's like, it has like that like 1977 kind of like that feel to it. Like I left that feeling like a little kid. Like oh, that was really cool. And when the guy flew in and the spaceships formed the big net for no reason whatsoever.
They had to stop the giant spaceship.
I know, but I love the fact, it was like one of those things that like, we're going to form this net. And they're like, the net's not going to work. Why are we even doing the net?
It was working, sir.
For a little bit. Yeah. And then he was like, go forward.
That movie was awesome.
And they had the voice of Darth Maul in it. And fucking John C. Reilly.
Who the fuck was Darth Maul?
Peter Serafinowicz, the guy who calls him a-holes. That's the voice of Darth Maul. That's not Darth Maul. Darth Maul is played by Ray Park.
Right, I know that.
But is voiced by Peter Serafinowicz.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. The dude from Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, Shaun of the Dead, yeah.
You fucking totally, like, threw me off by that. I was like, what? I was like, I'm thinking of Ray Park. And I'm like, Ray Park wasn't in that movie. Ray Park didn't voice anything in that movie, and he also wasn't in the movie. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, but I mean, it was, and I like that everybody's making a comparison to, like, fucking a D&D group. It's like the D&D group completely. If you haven't heard,
good D&D group.
No. A good D&D group is like the fucking. No, what would I say?
They're like the Sasquatch. You'll never see them. Yeah, they're always out of focus.
Well, Cliff pointed. Cliff, he listens to the podcast. He was talking about how it's the Guardians. The Avengers is the group that you want. Guardians of the Galaxy is the group that you get. So that makes sense to me. I don't know. Just like the you know, you have a guy who's like, dude, my character. Talking raccoon. And then Steve's just like, fuck no, you don't get to be a talking raccoon. Yeah, it's the character I drew up.
He's like, oh, it's a choice in the book. I'm like, fuck, it is a choice in the book.
Shit. The other guy's like, I could be a tree? I'm gonna be a tree. No, you can't be a tree. No, it says here I could be a tree. And all I say is, I am Groot. God damn it. You just like throw the shit off the table.
Yeah, but they would have to make it fun somehow.
Yeah, that's
the movie was fun. And that's normally troll D&D groups suck. Yeah. And they're just like awful. And yeah. They're not fun.
I would be I made the comment that I'd be like Drax the Destroyer and be like, but dude, my guy's tough enough. I'm going to take on the big bad. We're just going to go to his castle, and I'm going to call him down, or I'm going to fight him right now.
Nothing would go over my head. I would catch it. My reflexes are too fast.
Yeah.
So good.
I love that movie. I thought it was probably one of my favorite movies of the last 2 years. I'm actually going to buy it on Blu-ray.
I'd say one of my favorite movies all time. Like,
I wouldn't go that far.
It's so fucking good.
But, you know,
I loved it.
It's really sad that of my favorite movies of the last 2 years, the top two are Marvel movies, like that and Captain America 2.
What about the Desolation of Smaug?
Smaug. I like that movie too.
That movie's awesome. Yeah. Take that, listeners.
We're going in a barrel down the river, and it's awesome. And I got an X, and I'm all CG.
They weren't CG.
But you see everyone in our fucking audience going, no! Like rending their skin, going, your perils, river!
Barrel rider.
It wasn't in the book!
Button lady? Yeah, there was at the Battle of Five Armies San Diego panel, this like lady in like a million like Tolkien buttons is like, before I ask my question, Benedict Cumberbatch, can you say button lady in Smaug's voice? And he just like looks at her, and they all kind of look at Benedict, and he just goes, button lady. That's fairly humorous.
You are a Cumberbitch. So do I have any other gaming stuff to talk about? Nagash?
I don't know. You don't have anything good. Moomra! You don't have anything good to contribute to the discussion. Hello!
Moomra, the ever-living.
No, you said one that was much better than that. It was
Skull Gash,
the ever-sculling. Yeah. That was a good one. And I was like, yes.
The ever-sculling!
So fucking terrible. He's got a million spinal cords.
Yeah, why does he have that many spinal cords, Steve? Steve,
why is he gigantic?
Steve, what? I don't know that
why
either.
Why is he fucking gigantic? Like, the first Nagash was gigantic because that dude was like, here's some shit model I've been sculpting, and they're like, we love it.
He had the pointy skull hat.
Yeah, we'll take it.
It was like, a pointy hat made of skulls.
Dude, his fucking, like, whatever. It's so... And you know what? I was looking forward to that model.
Really?
Well, I got the Undead for King's War.
Oh,
so
that's true. Yeah,
I guess this model might actually be, you know, fucking sweet.
Yeah.
Because I have the Wit King on foot for one of my heroes.
Yeah.
Because that's a sweet model.
It is a nice model.
And I was like, yeah, maybe this will be a cool, like, Necromancer model or something. Nope.
I just don't understand.
Nope, that's not what happened.
Well, I mean, the reason why they made it gigantic was so that they could make it plastic.
And expensive.
And expensive. They didn't want... If it was smaller, they would probably made it in poop cast and... But not poop cast, because they don't call it poop cast anymore.
Yeah, they call it high quality resin.
But it's still poop cast.
I thought they passed it to Forge World.
I don't know. I didn't even fucking touch it.
I heard they passed that to Forge World, and that's why like most of the fine cast models aren't available anywhere except for the website now.
Yeah, who the fuck knows? Well, they're not available anywhere because all the stores closed.
I mean like local retailers. I didn't mean Games Workshop stores, which yes are all closing. I meant like a local retailer.
But I mean, what's the fucking point of a model that big?
I mean, it's 1,000 points.
Yeah, what?
It's 1,000 point fucking model.
Who is going to buy that?
People who really like the giant Skelebones? I don't know. He makes a. He, you know what? He would actually probably be pretty good for. I actually have a legit use for him. They never made a bone giant. They never made a plastic bone giant.
No, they never made a plastic
for bone. Tomb Kings. Yeah. So he would probably make an excellent bone giant for your Tomb Kings army. Because he's got the Egyptian kind of look that the Tomb Kings have.
But. If he costs, let's say, $60, you could just go buy a metal bone giant for your Tomb Kings for probably $20 less.
True, true. Depending on how much he costs, that might or may not be a good idea.
There are, 13 armies in Warhammer Fantasy?
I think there might be more. I don't know. There's a lot.
Let's just say 13 armies right off the bat, because that's the number that comes into my head. 13 armies for Warhammer Fantasy. 1/13 uses that figure. The vampire counts. If you're trying to make money with Warhammer Fantasy, don't put out a figure for vampire counts that even people who play vampire counts are probably not going to buy, because the majority of them have the old, whatever, who sculpted Andy Chamber?
No. Gary Morley.
Gary Morley fucking one that people don't like and are just like, fuck it, I have it, I'm just going to use it. I
already have it.
Yeah. And so, like, the newer players are going to buy it, so, like, maybe half of the people who play vampire counts. So 1/26 the amount of players who play Warhammer Fantasy, if it was evenly divided, would buy that figure.
And possibly a Tomb Kings player, if there's any left.
Possibly a Tomb Kings player, but let's face it. You know, that's the 14th army that I'm not including in this.
Yeah, because nobody plays them.
Nobody plays it except you.
Uh-huh. No.
You did nothing. At one point.
When I played them, I got them to a point where they were very good.
Yeah.
And four Tomb Scorpion, 2 Bone Giant.
You're the worst human being on the planet.
Dude, I beat fucking Zinch Demons with that army. I was so fucking excited about that. I was like, yes!
And it's like... And plus,
that was Storm of Chaos meta, dude. Yeah. You can't give me any shit. I was playing Tomb Kings in the Storm of Chaos meta.
I was playing Tomb Kings in the Storm of Chaos, man. You
haven't seen what I've seen.
Oh, and the fucking... Because they're coming out with...
Skinks with a 4+! Because
they're coming out with the 9th edition soon, so who the fuck knows? Pretty much the way I look at it as well. Okay, did I missing anything? Anything crazy Kickstarter wise? There's the dungeon crawl Kickstarter for Mantic.
Boop.
They
Dwarf
had that
King Dungeon.
Yeah, they had that at Gen Con. They were previewing it.
Those,
okay,
those figures are really cool. The undead are awesome looking.
I shit on Mantic's figures a lot, and you know it's not completely unjustified. The figures aren't great, but they're
newer stuff's really good.
But they're newer.
The Dead Zone and this stuff, like their sculpts are. Actually
their
awesome.
Sculpts are getting much better, and so I'm not complaining about it. It looked okay. It's a dungeon crawl. I already have the dungeon crawl I like to play with. You know, I always feel like everybody needs at least one dungeon crawl that they play. Like, this is my dungeon crawl game. I don't need another dungeon crawl in my life.
Yeah, you can pick one. Talisman, Descent, Super Dungeon Explorer, this one, Dwarf King's Hold.
Yeah.
Because you could have been playing the older ones, because the new one's Dwarf King Dungeon.
You could
or whatever.
Play, not Talisman, HeroQuest.
Yep, HeroQuest. Dungeon, there's Dungeon Lore?
There's a bunch of them out there. So if you just find the one you want to play, and you play that one. If you want to get into a dungeon crawl, I suggest Super Dungeon Explorer, just because it's much more fun than a lot of dungeon crawls. It's got great figures. I did, like... The only other one that I would recommend would be HeroQuest, and that one, good luck getting hold of HeroQuest.
I'd recommend Descent over HeroQuest. Descent 2nd Edition is really
Descent,
good.
Yeah, it's essentially... But I just like the retro feel of HeroQuest.
Well, Descent 2nd Edition, like, they did a lot to, like, make that game...
It looks too...
Well, it's definitely new. Yeah. It's not 80s.
I want the old 28mm Minotaur with the arms on his side and the...
Christopher Lee narrated that commercial.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I fucking... I was like, that's so good. I love that
game.
What,
you know what else does the fourth edition D&D box sets: Legend of Drizzt, Wrath of Ashardalon, and Castle Ravenloft.
Those are called the Dungeons and Dragons Adventure System games.
Yeah, it's a dungeon crawl.
Those and that's how fourth edition is continuing.
You know what? Those aren't bad games.
Well, no, that's I was going to point out they're not changing the rule because they're making a new one.
Yeah,
that's just currently called Number 4 or Number 5 or whatever. But they're going to
be Number 4.
They're going to, because there's a Ashardalon, Drizzt, Ravenloft. And
well, Ravenloft's the first one. They did a Ashardalon, then Drizzt.
There's be those will be number be fourth.
Four. Yeah,
I
like those games.
They're going to keep all of the rules the same, and those use fourth edition as their engine.
Yeah,
and for turns out fourth edition pretty fucking good for a board game.
Oh, it's great for a board game. And you know what else? It's like you get the unpainted versions of the shittily painted figures that you'd get in the other.
And the sculpts are actually pretty good.
Yeah, all those sculpts are great. It's just the paint jobs that drive me fucking up the wall.
There's no paint job.
Yeah. Oh. We're way over right now, but I have one last thing from Gen Con.
It's a special Gen Con podcast.
I sat there and watched the Dungeons and Dragons Attack Wing game being played. I didn't get to play it. I watched it being played. No. No.
But you didn't get a chance to play it.
I didn't get a chance to play it. No.
You have to at least try it before you shit on it.
Okay, so I've played Attack Wing before. I've played Star Wars. I played Star Trek. And now I've demoed Armada.
What about the ground troops in, did they use the ground troops?
They did not use the ground troops.
How could you not use it? That's so fucking stupid. Why wouldn't you have the demo with, like, the big thing that your game has? Like, that's a huge thing in that game.
Well, okay, part of what I don't like,
I know it's gonna use the same fucking movement systems as, like, X-Wing and shit. Yeah, but just, I wanna know how the fucking ground troops are gonna play.
Okay, so there's four Attack Wing games out here right now, if you're not including Wings of War or whatever other games out there that use that
system. Nobody cares about Wings of War, even though it's the system that everyone loves now.
The systems have been bounced around more than your mom.
What? Did you mean my mom or our listeners' moms?
Well, put both. More than Hamish's mom.
That would have been better.
Okay, sorry. So
you really fucked it up.
I did. But the...
apologize.
I'm sorry, Hamish. I'm sorry about that. But there was the... if you have a choice between those four systems, right now Armada looks like it is the best. The people in Fantasy Flight actually looked at the game and said, oh, this works, this works, and this works. Let's do this. Let's tighten this up. Let's give it this aspect of it. And now it's like the fucking one of the best games out there. One of the best spaceship games I've ever played in my life. And I've played a lot of spaceship games. I love spaceship games. I played Babylon 5 Call to Arms. I love that game.
Are you excited about the Babylon 5 reboot?
Babylon 5! They're doing a movie version.
Babylon 5! Babylon 5! We don't need girls when we've got the Babylon 5 collectible card game.
It's fucking... But the Attack Wing, first of all, it's just a rehash of everything else.
Right.
So it's like...
That's to be expected, though.
Okay. So it's like, okay, so this is the fourth version of this game that's coming out, and I could play these other games, you know. So it's just like, it's a matter of IP. The figures are awful.
Really?
They are awful. Well, first of all, they're the WizKids D&D figures.
They're fucking dragons. How can they be that bad?
They fucked up painting dragons, Steve. Wow. It's a gold dragon, Steve. How do you expect them to paint it?
Spray it gold and fucking wash it brown.
Oh, you're half right.
Just spray it gold.
Just spray gold. And they don't even spray gold. They they must have like their factory where they're pumping these out with dun 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 da 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 dun dun.
Just drop a glob of paint on it.
No, they drop it in the paint and then lift it up and just let the paint drip off. Like, nice. And it just keeps going dun 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 da 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 dun dun. And I'm just like
dun 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 dun. Fucking powerhouse. Good stuff.
And then there's like a bunch of like tiny Koreans like putting the stuff into the package. I'm sorry, not Koreans. Let's say Sri Lankans putting it into the package. But yeah, it's bad. It looks bad. Mm-hmm. And even the ground troops, they had the ground troops out there, and they're just like, I was expecting, I don't know what I was expecting. It's just like, it's that scene from Arrested Development where it says, don't open dead bird. And he opens it up and sees a dead bird. He goes, I don't know what I was expecting. It was like that. It was like the ground troops were just the prepackaged plastic figures put onto bases. I was like, I don't know what I was expecting, but I was expecting more. You know, like maybe like a base that had like a couple figures on it, maybe like a unit. No, just a dude.
Yeah, I mean, I called. I wasn't gonna play it because it's really expensive,
and it's so fucking expensive for what you're getting. I don't. It's For me, I love everything that Dungeons & Dragons is doing for 5th edition so far. But these figures, it's just like...
Well, I mean, it's WizKids, so...
Yeah, it's just such a fucking cash grab.
It's WizKids. Like, that's their thing. They're good at
that.
It's
not like Paizo putting out all their...
They're also doing the WizKids miniatures. WizKids is Paizo as well.
I know. But it's just like, ugh.
I actually... I was waxing by myself the other day and thinking about, what if you released unpainted versions?
You know, and that's what I was thinking. Like, if they... Probably took, like, what's the starter set for attack for Tyranny of Dragons?
I think it's $50.
It's 50, yeah, it's 50 bones.
The attack wing game.
Yeah, the attack
wing. I think it's
$50. If you charge $30 for it and put on, you know, painted figures in there, I'd probably buy it. Because I could probably just paint it. It's not hard to paint a dragon. Dragons are easy to fucking paint.
Right.
If you're not going, like, all, like, I'm going to highlight
every scale. If you're not going to highlight every scale. Yeah, it's some dry brushes, some washes, boom, call it a day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you could do a decent job on it and put it out there and, you know, just play with your own stuff. But they're charging, like, $20 extra for shitty paying jobs. I don't. But you know what? In all honesty, I expect a little more when it comes to a paint job than most people do.
I don't when it's pre-painted. Like, when it's pre-painted,
but,
I expect
well, that's
it to
be. Well, that's the thing. Is, like, I don't care if it's pre-painted, but I don't want to be charged for pre-painted figures. You know, do you get what I'm saying there? I don't want to be charged
right.
for
right. But I mean, like,
job.
You got to remember, like, the vast majority of people playing with the pre-painted miniatures just, games are not playing any. They've never done any other miniatures games.
I know.
Like,
I know.
A bunch of people I know play HeroClix and Star Wars Attack Wing.
They like the clicks.
And they're and it's like, have you ever played a miniatures game? They're like, I play Star Wars and Attack Wing. I'm like, have you ever played like Warhammer, War Machine, or Malifaux, anything like that? And they're like, no. I don't want to build my own.
Well, that's the thing with the Star Wars Attack and the Star Wars Attack Wing. It's fucking beautifully painted, and I don't mind painting.
Well, I mean, they're just boxes. They're fucking boxes and dry brush and you're done.
No, Star Wars.
Yeah, the ships. They're just boxes.
No, they're really nicely painted. I've never, and like...
It's a spaceship. How...
Yeah, but...
Can you fuck up a spaceship?
People do it. Look at Star Trek Attack Wing. You could take those two figures, put them side by side, and you could see the quality in one over the quality of the other.
Well, yeah, because one is done by Fantasy Flight.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Fantasy Flight has really good components. They always do.
And that's what I'm saying. But they're the same price. That's the problem
The reason the Star Wars one, or Star Trek ones look bad, is because they're just the HeroClix ones.
Yeah.
And but they're just slapped onto the fucking different base.
What I'm saying is that you're getting charged the same amount of money for both.
Right.
And so I'd rather spend my money on something that looks nice as opposed to something that...
I would have rather had Fantasy Flight had the Star Trek license.
Exactly. Oh, man, that'd be so great.
Because then it would have been Star Trek Armada.
If oh.
Yep. That's what
yeah,
it would
have
been.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think it
would have
worked.
You know what would have worked? There's no fighters. There's like
you'd be sending like shuttlecraft.
Shuttlecrafts and fucking roundabouts. Runabouts. Like, oh, runabouts. Get some runabouts in there.
Yeah, that's like exactly. But I mean, man, if Fantasy Flight had the Star Wars, it had the Star Trek IP. Fucking.
They'd probably have a super good RPG.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like,
Star Trek is one of the games that I've always wanted to run as a tabletop RPG. But I have no idea how I would do it.
We've talked about it on the podcast before. It's just there's no real good rule set. And of course, there's going to be someone who's going to be like, well, you could use this rule set for it and just mod. No,
yeah,
I don't.
I know the rule sets that exist, but they are not the feel.
But it's even that. It's like I don't want to do some bastardized version. I want a Star Trek RPG.
Yeah.
Fucking A. Anyway. So, we're way over. Do we have anything else that we want to talk about?
I don't think so.
Skull Gash? You want to make fun of Skull Gash some more?
Skull Gash, the ever sculling.
I just like that it has the word gash in it.
Get back to Hamish's mom.
Ah, there we go.
Don't forget to thank the Northamptons men.
I know. I forgot last time. I had to add it in case you didn't
notice. I caught in that hasty edit.
That hasty edit. Yeah. So, what else was I going to say? Pat B's working on getting some sponsorships from the Dollar Shave Club, which I think is funny because neither of us shave.
The Dollar Shave Club. Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know, something like that. All right, so go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at Game Classy. Like our Facebook page.
You can watch us on YouTube. Watch, listen.
Yeah, you could watch, listen on YouTube. Did you see that the Star Trek video I posted today?
No.
It's like some, like, it's not a, it's like a fan movie, okay?
Oh, I saw that you posted it, didn't watch it.
Yeah. It's really good. It's got Tony Todd in it.
All right, I'm in.
And Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica.
Finally.
But I mean, it's like, it's really good.
All right, yeah, I'll give it a go.
Of course, there's going to be like, James is going to be like, I'm fucking hating our track. Okay. It's like, thank you for your opinion. It is duly noted. Steve did the salute. Yeah, go to like our Facebook page, watch, listen on YouTube.
40 shillings on the drum, yo.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's a fucking that Sean Bean show.
Oh yeah,
the fucking intro.
Yeah, is it good?
It's fucking amazing.
I haven't watched it yet.
That's good.
I've just been.
It's good.
Booting a boot. It's like a spy show, right?
No, it's Napoleonic War.
Oh, that's sharp.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I was thinking the his Sean Bean's new show that just came out.
Oh no, that one's supposed to be really good too.
Yeah. No. Oh yeah, sharp. Yeah,
the sharp opening theme is the 40 shillings on the drum.
Yeah, I like sharp, but the problem is like, did I talk about sharp before?
You did a little bit. You said it's 290s.
It is very 90s.
But there's ones that were made in 2000s.
But I mean, I don't remember if I talked about it on the podcast or not. I think I might have just
you talked about it on the page.
On the page, okay. No, my thing is that I got into sharp when it was really hard to find sharp stuff. So, like, I'd go to the library and get, like, the VHS and watch it at home. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then I was like, I didn't watch it for a long time. And then I went back recently and tried to watch it on YouTube. I'm like, oh, this just looks terrible. I don't mind, like, the content. It just looks so bad. It looks like...
I'm able to watch the old 90s historical shows like Xena and Hercules.
Yeah, it's just, like, same thing. Like, I like Hercules, but it looks... so bad.
So good. Disappointed!
Disappointed! Xena's very homoerotic overtones. It's great. Good stuff. Never liked Xena.
What? Xena was awesome.
I just never got into it.
You're weird.
I have no problems with people who are into Xena. I just never got it. It wasn't for me.
What about Briscoe County Jr.?
Oh, Briscoe County Jr. is fucking genius.
Yeah. I actually really liked Prince of Thieves, too.
I don't know that one.
It was the Bruce Campbell spinoff show from his character in Hercules.
Arabian Nights.
Yeah, it was good. I think it was called Prince of Thieves. Yeah. It might have been called something else. Oh, Jack of All Trades.
Jack of All Trades was a good
one.
That was
a good one.
That had a great opening theme, though. I'm going to put that up.
The Jack of All Trades.
Jack of All Trades. Nice. I don't remember how it goes, but it's like, you don't know Jack. Something like that. Yes, so go to iTunes, write, comment, subscribe. I don't know, whatever it is. Comment, subscribe. What? Listen, comment, subscribe, whatever the fuck you put.
Like, comment, subscribe.
Like, comment, subscribe. There you go. Once again, we got the contest going on. So you can email me at joe@planetarbitrary.com. Say one thing Steve is...
Hey, how come I don't have a Planet Arbitrary email?
I don't know. That's up to Anthony.
This is bullshit.
Yeah, I'll forward you something if someone emails you. I'll read it first. But the... right, for Steve. No, Yeah, if you...
this is a big picture of a dick.
Just put something that Steve was wrong about on the podcast at one point or another. Something that you completely disagree with. And I will send you the Super Dungeon Explore figures. I got a bunch of them here. They're the limited edition from the Kickstarter. So even if you don't like Super Dungeon Explore, they're actually really cool figures to have.
They're great figures.
Yeah. And I will send them to you. Make sure you put your address in there. Also listen to the Play On podcast on PlanetArbitrary.com.
Pat's Retro Game Review.
Yes, Pat's Retro Game Review. We're already over, so I might as well just keep going. So I was at the motel room, and I'm checking out, and there's these two guys that are sitting there. They're like, they're gamers. They got the Gen Con tag on.
Right.
They weigh about, you know, like
they,
I do.
They weigh gamer weight.
They the gamer weight. They had the beards and everything like that. And they're like, you're going to Gen Con, right? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, can we get a ride? And I was like, okay. And like, the guy's like, yeah, my car got hit on the way down here, and I got no ride to get up there. And I was like, fucking get in. And so I took him for a ride out there. And I'm talking about it. I'm like, yeah, I got a podcast, a gaming podcast, and blah, blah, blah. And the one guy's like, I really like podcasts. I want to do my own. I'm like, oh, yeah, what do you want to do it on? And he goes, retro video games. And I was like,
yes.
Like, yeah, the world's craving a good retro video game podcast.
Oh!
I love you, Pat.
I mean, Pat's podcast isn't about retro video games, so, like...
It's about Call of Duty.
It's about
Duty! Duty.
It's about Duty! And Ghosts. Assassin's Creed.
No, it's
and,
it's all about Advanced...
Titanfall.
It's all about Advanced Warfare.
Advanced Warfare. Horrorfare.
Advanced Warfare. That's what it's
Kevin
all about.
Spacey Simulator. Kevin Spacey Simulator 5000.
I would play that.
That's what Advanced Warfare
is. Instead of Goat Simulator, I'd play Kevin Spacey Simulator.
Nice, you get the lick. Kevin Spacey tongue. Flying around in the helicopter. Nice.
Oh, so, I don't...
I am Capex.
one of his buttons
is just, I am Capex. I am Capex.
It pays it forward.
Man, I should make that game.
You should. You made $1 million. Do I have anything else that
the
I
Pet Rocket made $1 million.
Also, once again, thank you to the Northampton Wargamers for sponsoring us for this podcast.
Northampton. They sponsored us for like a million years.
For a million years. It's like, I think it's all the way to like, I think we got two more podcasts left.
Holy shit.
I know. Tell me about it.
What a waste of money.
They didn't pay that much.
All right. That's good.
So we're not going to do a D&D review next week, but probably after the next podcast, we'll do another one. We got the Player's Handbook and the Tyranny of Dragons, or the Horde of the Dragon Queen coming out. The last one got pretty decent reviews from some people, so I think we're going to continue it for a while. So look forward to that. So, you know, I normally would throw this off to Steve at the end of the podcast saying, you know, like, Steve, until next week. I just wanted to mention that, you know, Robin Williams died and he was a huge gamer. And, you know, me and Steve have talked about on the podcast before how much we love the genie from Aladdin. And I don't think it goes by enough that, you know, how much I really respected him as an actor and as a comedian. Like, I had all his stuff. And I was just like, I wanted to just send it off saying that how much I'm going to miss Robin Williams as there, and also as a gamer too, because he was always about talking about video games and tabletop games. Big Warhammer player.
This kid's name's Zelda.
This kid's name's Zelda. He would go, I'd hear stories from the people at different Games Workshop stores in New York and LA that he would come in. He never really played that much. Apparently, he had a high elf army.
And Eldar.
He had an Eldar army and some Tyranids and stuff like that. And he only collected 40K, never played it, which is like most people. So he has that in common with the common man.
I thought him and Billy Crystal rolled out.
Yeah, but him and Billy Crystal played, apparently, there's supposedly a story in Games Workshop history of Billy Crystal and Robin Williams playing an Orcs versus High Elf game where they both did voices for their figures. And the High Elves were very swishy, and the Orcs were very Jewish. So, and that's the type of stuff that I'm probably going to miss the most about, because, you know, you don't really hear about that shit too much, and it's really, it affected me a lot, I think. I don't normally get affected by celebrity deaths. I'm like, oh, that sucks. But this one hit me, mainly because I think how much his comedy style affected me, you know. It's like, that's how I kind of build my stuff off the very manic, all over the place type stuff, genie from Aladdin type thing. So I wanted to end the podcast on a very low note and depress everyone again. So, but I just wanted to say how much I'm going to miss Robin Williams. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that.
Your favorite game is terrible.
My favorite game is terrible.
No, listeners, your favorite game is terrible.
All right. So yeah, see you guys. Game classy.